Hello, folks. This is Pastor Brandon coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. And so I'd like to thank you all for tuning in this evening. Thank you all for those who will be tuning in and those who are just tuning in. And we appreciate you. We love you. And I got quite a message to preach tonight. And the message that I'm going to be preaching on is witchcraft in the churches. And this is a very big deal, because if a lot of these churches have witchcraft, then what does that tell you about our nation? Okay? And this is a very serious issue. And I believe that God's people need to start standing up for this stuff. Standing up, not for it, sorry. God's people need to start standing up and saying no to this stuff. And we need to start, I mean, this is a spiritual fight that we're in. And I'm going to tell you something. The times that we live in, there should be no playtime. God has never been playing games. Witchcraft is a very serious offense against God and against His commandments. It's a very serious offense. And when I say that, witchcraft is very dangerous to be getting into. And the churches have gotten themselves mixed up because instead of being a light in the world, they allow the world to come in and influence them. When they should be in the world influencing the world by being a peculiar people. But you have all these lazy pastors. They're like ostriches. They stick their head in the sand and they're content with where they're at. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is not the time to be sticking our head in the sand. And this is not the time to be cowards and be selfish and self-centered. This is not the time to be doing so. We need to start, the church needs to start getting serious about serving God. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something. If the church don't want to get serious, all I have to say is, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. Because I'm going to tell you what. A lot of these clowns who are influenced by the world, a lot of them, if not all these clowns that are lazy, are allowing witchcraft in their churches. And so we're going to be talking about witchcraft in the churches. We're going to be talking about that. There's going to be four different groups that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about a little bit of the law of attraction. We're going to be talking about repetitive prayer. We're going to be talking about hypnotic states through music. We're also going to be talking about handwriting through states of alpha-induced state. Okay, we're going to be talking a little bit about those four groups today, and I'm going to kind of sort of wrap it up with something that I think needs to be said and needs to be taught, because if nobody wants to stand up against this stuff and teach it, then I will. So, with that said, if you have your King James Bibles, we're going to open up a big can of King James. Going to open up a big old can of King James against this spirit of Jezebel. Okay, we're going to open up a big can of it. So, to start off, if you have your King James Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. This is the letter to the church of Thyatira. And this is a letter that was written to this church because they allowed Jezebel into that church. In other words, most likely they allowed people with this particular spirit within the church. And so this church probably, you know, was probably at some point probably guilty of witchcraft, because as we saw last week, Jezebel and Ashtaroth, or Jezebel is Ashtaroth, but Ashtaroth is the goddess of witchcraft. Okay? So, in Revelation 2:20, it says this. It says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach, to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Okay? So, with that said, sufferest. If anybody doesn't know what the word sufferest means to allow. Basically, what the Bible is telling you is that this church allowed Jezebel and her whoredoms and witchcrafts to enter into the church of Thyatira. But, if you read on in that passage, Jesus actually, you know, commends a very few, because this small few didn't defile their garments. Most of them did. Okay? So, we see that Jezebel, from last time we talked about how Ashtaroth was a whore, and she also had witchcrafts. Amen? And so, this church had issues with those same things, along with eating things sacrificed to idols. Now, the key point I want to point out is that this particular church had issues with witchcraft. Okay? There are a lot of churches in America that I would actually classify under the Church of Thyatira. And those churches, I'm going to name a few. Oh, actually, here's the thing. There are actually quite a bit of them that fall into this category. Quite a bit of them. Most of them, anyways. And that spirit is going around in these churches, and these churches, and people are just eating all this stuff, thinking it's Bible. You got to understand, witchcraft is a very serious offense to God. God does not want his people mingling themselves with witchcraft. I'm going to tell you something. If there's anybody watching that claims to be Christian and yet you like Harry Potter, that is a big conflict of interest. Big conflict of interest. If you claim to be born again, you should be separated from that filth called Harry Potter and on all these other movies that promote witchcraft. Because I'm going to tell you something. A born-again believer cannot, I'm going to repeat this, a born-again believer cannot be mingled with Harry Potter or any other source of witchcraft, period. Amen? That's not what's supposed to happen. Now, I'm going to talk about the first part here. We're going to be talking about the law of attraction. Now, if you don't know what the law of attraction is, it's another name for it is name it and claim it. Okay? In other words, this is name it and claim it. The law of attraction is basically speaking things into existence. Okay? That means it's relying on you to say this thing in this way. And if you don't say this thing in this way, you won't get it. That's witchcraft. Speaking things in existence. You have to face this way. You have to face that way. You have to say this this way. You have to say this that way. You have to say that way. Say that this way. Okay? When you go to a church that does that, and they admit that they're naming and claiming it, what they're really admitting to you is that they're into witchcraft. You should not be a part of that church. You shouldn't be. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of these so-called mega churches, these big mega churches that are so-called Bible believers, and really they're not. They contradict the Bible, the things they do. You shouldn't be a part of them. Because it's those churches that are going to cause a lot of havoc in a person's life if they're born again. Okay? So stay away from it. So, naming and claiming is speaking things into existence. Okay? Jesus Christ, you know what he did? He did the very things that God showed him to do. That is different. Because that's not speaking things into existence. God the Father showed Jesus Christ, go here, go there. You need to pray for this person here. And you want to know something? Jesus Christ was obedient to what the Father said. Okay? God showed Jesus who to heal, who to deliver, who to preach to. By the way, should we not follow in that example? I mean, Jesus Christ is that ultimate example. And by the way, God can still show you things from His Word. Okay? And by the way, the Holy Ghost is not going to speak of Himself. He's going to speak of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you something. If you want to know what's God's will for your life, you read the Bible and you pray. And I'm going to tell you something. God will show you what you need to do. People should not be in witchcraft. People should be in prayer, asking God what they should do. They shouldn't be doing this nonsense of speaking things into existence. I'm going to tell you something. When you start doing this speaking things in existence, this naming and claiming stuff, what you're really doing is you're actually telling God, I'm going to do it. And by the way, that's pride. That is pride. Brothers and sisters, and those who are non-believers, I love you. Okay, I love you. But sometimes we need to swallow our pride and let God. And witchcraft, it's be puffed up and I'll do whatever I want to do. Okay? Now, turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30. If you believe the Bible this evening, say amen. And listen, I love you guys, but sometimes pastors need to tell hard truths. Sometimes you just need to grow a backbone and stand up against all this witchcraft nonsense, and you need to stand up against the evils of this world and start praying and intercessory prayer. And sometimes, you know, you just need to do it because God told you to. And by the way, we're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, not part of it. Think about that. Anyways, John chapter 5, verse 30. It says, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. You see that Jesus Christ heard from the Father. The Father told him what to do. Jesus heard it and he went and did it. Shouldn't we do the same? Sometimes no. Even as believers, we don't want to do it because our flesh gets in the way and we become lazy and we say, no, Lord, I don't want to do it today. Tough. We need to be doing what the Apostle Paul said by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is crucifying the flesh and the desires thereof. And what do I mean by crucify the flesh? What I mean by that is saying no to your flesh. Sometimes you have to say, not sometimes, every time your flesh wants to intervene, you have to tell it no. Why? Because Jesus said, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. Either this Bible the King James Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. What do you want? What do you want? You want sin? Okay, if you want to take sin, it's going to keep you from the very thing that will save you. If you want this book, great. It'll keep you from sin. Think about that. Jesus did not do things on his own accord. He did everything according to what the Father showed him. Witchcraft, this, whatever you want to do. Okay? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Seven through eight. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and shall be opened for you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Let me tell you something. You don't need to do all this name it and claim it garbage. You know what Jesus said? He said, ask, and you'll receive. You want to know something? Witchcraft, basically, witchcraft puts the work on you, and you can't get it if you don't do it right. Is that what Jesus said? No. Jesus said, ask, and you shall receive. And by the way, the Bible also says, ye have not because ye ask not. Bible also says that even if you ask and you don't have, it's because you ask amiss. Which means that if you ask the Lord for something and you don't get it, the reason for it is because you asked for it for the wrong reason. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? People need to grow a backbone and they need to start exposing this stuff. But not many preachers want to do it. I'm going to tell you something about these preachers that don't want to expose it. Okay, if you see wrong and you see evil and you don't stand up against it and protest it, you're just as guilty as those who commit the sin. If you don't do anything about it, you're just as guilty. You're just as guilty. And God will hold you accountable. And I'm going to tell you something. That is why we need to repent daily. This is why we need to be obedient to what God says. If people don't stand up against this trash that's getting to the church, you're just as guilty as they are. I don't think you want to be in that boat. I don't think you want to. And I'm going to tell you something. I will be in your face about a particular... I will be in the face. You know why? Because it needs to be said. Because you have all these clowns that are heretics. And people don't say... And there's not enough people to say it. There's not enough people to stand up and point to them and say, you can't follow them people. Because they're wrong. Okay? God takes that very seriously. Pastors, if you're not doing your job, you better start repenting and start doing your job. Because if you don't want to do your job, then get out of the way and let the people who want to do the job do it. And I'm not trying to be mean about it, but it's the honest truth. If you don't want to do something that you feel called to, then get out of the way. Let those who are willing to go, go. We see that name and claim it people only do things on their own accord. Jesus Christ did everything according to the Father. But people who do this naming and claiming nonsense only do things on their own accord. And guess what? People who do witchcraft don't care about the Bible. As a matter of fact, everything they do will contradict the Bible. Witchcraft is wicked, and you need to stay away from it. Amen? Now, we're going to talk about the next part we're here. We're going to talk about is repetitive prayer, which is contemplative prayer. Okay? For those of you that don't know what it is, contemplative prayer is repeating a verse in one breath, whether it be speaking or singing. Okay? It causes the brain waves to change from the beta state to go into alpha state. The beta state is when you're awake, and the alpha state is when you're asleep. Okay? When the process happens during prayer, it causes you to be hypnotized and helps you to channel familiar spirits, which, by the way, God said you're not supposed to consult familiar spirits or people who have them. That is why witchcraft is so dangerous, because people in witchcraft consult familiar spirits, and you're not supposed to even consult a witch. You want to know something? Saul consulted a witch of Endor, and guess what? Shortly after, he took his own life. He fell on his sword. His son fell on his sword. God says, don't have anything to do with people who have familiar spirits or consult with them. All right. If you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. It says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. I'm not going to say very much on that, because the Bible basically just summed it up right there. Okay, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen. The heathen are those are in witchcraft. The heathen. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes. Turn here. Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. It says, and the soul that turneth after such have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. You see, that's God feels very strongly about this particular thing. If you consult with familiar spirits, God says he'll cut you off from among his people. And by the way, I don't think you want to be in a position where God sets his face against you, because that's what happened to Saul, the first king of Israel. Can I get an amen on that? Okay? God doesn't want you consulting with familiar spirits. He doesn't want you consulting with people who have them, after wizards, and after all these other groups of people. And by the way, God doesn't want you consulting with witches either. Why do you think he said, sufferest thou not a witch to live? Think about that. Okay, next thing we're going to talk about is hypnotic states through music. Okay, classic rock and roll and its beats were created by ungodly people. Okay, a lot of these rock and rollers were devil-possessed. Actually, most, if not all of these rock and rollers were devil-possessed and ungodly people and people who were high on LSD and other drugs. Why would you have that nonsense and garbage coming into the church? Rock and roll is nothing but a bunch of trashy music and lyrics straight from the pit of hell. Literally, the pit of hell. Why would you want something from the pit of hell to be entering in what is supposed to be God's own house? Amen? There's no reason for it. A lot of Christian music is modeling itself after the beats of classic rock as being played in churches. You know, I think it's a shame the pastors don't want to speak out against stuff like this. Very few will. And pastors, those few that are speaking out against this stuff, I commend you for it. You continue doing what you do and continue preaching the gospel. Amen? But for the rest of you lazy pastors, you need to get their act together. You need to get your act together. Okay? There's no excuse. It is because of Christian music that has drawn people into mega churches. You know, it's interesting, really quickly, before I get to the next section here. I went to God brought me to a mega church. And God did it to break off curses in my own life. And He did it to test me to see whether what God put me there to see what I would do. And by the way, this particular mega church, their worship services are trash. And by the way, the pastor of that mega church goes by the name of Mac Hammond. Mac Hammond is a clown mixed in with a whole bag of other clowns that he's mixed up in that do this name it and claim it nonsense. People like him make me mad. They make me mad because of the stuff that they teach and do. It is not biblical, and everything they say and do is contrary to what your Bible says. And their worship services, you might as well go to a secular nightclub because that's basically what it's like. They've got the lights dimmed down, they've got the lights flashing, and they treat it as like one gigantic party. It's nonsense. Shame on them. Shame on all these pastors who think it's cool and hip to go out and start having these worship services like these to have these worship services like parties. And by the way, the reason why they're doing it is because their excuse is we need to reach the younger generation. Let me tell you something. You can reach the younger generation with this Bible and with the old-time gospel hymns. I don't need no fancy worship service. Amen? We do not need all this technology to be throwing these worship parties that will attract the youth, because that's what really the youth is really into. Nonsense. I don't buy that nonsense. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can reach the youth and be just as... you could be even more so effective because you have the King James Bible and the old gospel hymns, and you can reach the younger generation, and you can even win more souls by doing that than having all these worship parties that they have with all their lights turned off and all that. I want the lights on when we worship the Lord. I think it's despicable. Matt Hammond, you and your group of cohorts should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself. Because what you're doing is not right, but it's wrong. Last thing we're going to talk about. Handwriting. Handwriting through states of alpha-induced state. Okay, which is your third eye. How you reach an alpha-induced state is the opening of your third eye. Okay? Channeling. You write down whatever the familiar spirits give to you, and the lights will be dim through all this time. And by the way, Living Word is guilty of that. Living Word, you can fight me all you want on that, but you know very well that is what you do. Okay, and I'm talking about Living Word Christian Center in Minneapolis. You know very well that you're guilty of dimming the lights down and writing things that you think you're getting from God. And all you mega churches, you better stop poisoning the minds of all these people. Because by doing that, you're acting all worldly, and the world will not have eventually the world will not have respect for you. The world wants to see a change in a Christian's life. And by the way, these mega churches are just a bunch of two-faced hypocrites. They don't care about anything about anything. The only thing they care about is filthy lucre, money. That is why they're into all this witchcraft nonsense. They only want the money. God should be, all you people that are into this nonsense should be ashamed of yourselves. All you churches. I'm angry the fact that you do this, because you're basically bringing all these people who don't know anything and taking them into what you do, and yet they don't know any better, but you're turning these people and two times the child of hell than you are. Leviticus 19:31 is what I believe what we read. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You could be defiled by these people. Okay? You can be defiled by them. That is why God says you're not to have anything to do with them. Amen? Now, I'm going to sort of wrap this up. And if you can turn with me to 1 Samuel. You guys, I love you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to pick on you. And I'm not trying to, you know, not trying to be mean. But this stuff needs to be called out. I need to stand up against this stuff. Because this witchcraft stuff is nonsense. Okay? Now, we've gone through some of this witchcraft stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. All these mega churches that are into this witchcraft, let me tell you what they all have in common. They are rebelling against God and His Word. They're rebelling against God and His Word. And we mentioned Saul a little bit. Okay? And before he consulted a witch with a familiar spirit, God told Saul that he needs to go and kill off all, I think it was the Amalekites. I think it was all the Amalekites. Yeah, it was all the Amalekites. Because they were an unclean people. Okay, God said you're not supposed to mingle with them. God told Saul that he needed to go wipe out every single one of them, even the cattle. And guess what? Saul kept back a little bit. God told Samuel, you need to go and have a conversation with Saul. And you want to know something? Samuel told Saul what he did. And guess what? Saul boasted, said, "No, I have not sinned against the Lord." By the way, that sounds a lot familiar, like all these mega church preachers. They're so puffed up in pride, they don't know how to swallow. By the way, They don't know how to swallow their own pride. And I'm going to tell you something. These people who are so puffed up in that much pride are twice dead. And you can't go to them with the Word of God and tell them to repent. You know why? Because they'll just ignore you. Anyways, I want to take you to 1 Samuel chapter 23. Now, I think this is very interesting because 23 is the number for death. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 23. This is what it says. This is what Samuel told Saul. And by the way, when Saul kept back the things that he did, he rebelled against God. So keep that in mind. But here's what it says. 1 Samuel 15 verse 23. It says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Folks, listen up. If you rebel against God, that is as the sin of witchcraft. I'm going to tell you something. There are basically two religions on this earth. Two religions. Bible Christianity and witchcraft. If it's not in the Bible Christianity, it's witchcraft. If you rebel against God, the reason why it is as the sin of witchcraft, because if you flat out rebel against God, you're basically telling God, "I don't need you, and I'll do it on my own." Well, there's a newsflash for you. Without Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. Okay? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Amen? Listen, you guys, I love you. I love you all. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just trying to stand up against stuff that I see that is wrong. Okay? Witchcraft is wrong. And all I'm trying to do is stand up against it and tell you why it's wrong. Okay? I love you all. If there's anyone that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Okay? To be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, you'll be saved. But you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Amen? So, you guys, I love you. I'm not trying to be mean. But I see trouble coming and I see trouble happening. And the reason why our nation is as corrupt as it is with all this with a lot of witchcraft nonsense, by the way, our nation is guilty of rebelling against God. And guess what? We have witchcraft in this nation. And I'll tell you why. Because there is witchcraft in the churches. The churches need to repent. The churches that may not have witchcraft, if they're just too lazy to preach on this stuff, you need to repent too. Because you need to start standing up and saying, "This is wrong." The Bible says that judgment must first begin at the house of God. And guess what? It's here. Judgment at the house of God is here. And God is sick and tired of all this laziness and slothfulness from these churches. God's going to start cleaning house. He's going to start separating the obedient from disobedient. Now, I might be wrong on that. But I'm going to tell you something. Okay? God loves you. Tomorrow may be too late. Today's the day of salvation. Okay? Listen, I know this was a very hard message to hear. It's a very hard message to just swallow. Sometimes we need to swallow our pride and focus on the Word of God. I want you all to do me a favor. I don't want you taking my word for things. Okay? As a matter of fact, I'd rather you not take my word for things. I'd rather you take what I say and match it with the Bible. And I'd rather you do your own homework on this issue. Don't trust me. Trust the Word of God. Anyways, I'd like to thank you all for those who have tuned in and are tuning in. Next time we're going to be teaching on part 4, which is tongues, and going to be teaching on, there's basically two different types of tongues. There is the Pentecostal tongue, and there's also the unknown tongue. And so in part 4, we're going to be discussing about tongues. Because along with all this witchcraft nonsense, there is a lot of debate on these tongues and what it is. And so we're going to, and next time we're going to talk about it, we're going to make sure that we have an understanding of what those two types of tongues are. Because you've got the Pentecostal tongue and you got the unknown tongues. And we're going to put the difference, these two types of tongues. And I'm going to show you which one of those two is actually biblical and why the other one is just another damnable heresy. I'm not going to apologize for that, but I'm going to show you next time why that is. Anyways, brothers and sisters and all those who have tuned in, even those who may not believe, I love you. Thank you for tuning in. Please, again, don't take my word for things. I want you to pray about it. You know, with everything that I say, match it with the Word of God. Listen, I love you. And like I said, next time we're going to be getting into tongues. So be sure to look forward to that. You know, I love you. God bless you. Till next time, this is Pastor Brandon signing off. You guys have a great night, a fantastic evening. And remember, think Bible. God bless. Bye.